Okay, this week is Shabbos Parshas Toldos. Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Kislev Chanukah. Right, they're going to sing Chanukah Nigunim this Shabbos. Right, I assume everyone in their shul when they sing Mevarchim Chodesh Kislev, they're going to sing one of the Yevanims. Yevanim, you right? They have all one of the variations of Mosur. So this Shabbos already is the beginning of Chanukah. The Safkoniot are in the oven. Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Kislev. It is the sixth parasha, and it's also one of the most the parish, the Birchas Yaakov. The bracha is the sixth Aliyah. Is the Birchas Yaakov V'yitim L'chohu Elokim Mital Hashemayim Mishmani Aretz, which also begins with the letter Vav, V'yitein Lecha, three sixes, 666. I always say this over the sixth parsha of the Torah. It's, and the sixth Aliyah is V'yitein Lecha, which begins with the letter Vav, 666. What is 666? It's Bigmatria, Me'ah She'arim. Me'ah She'arim is the biggest brach. When Yitzhak in this sixth parsha, he measured how much the land can produce. They discovered, even though it was a very difficult year and it was a very difficult field, yet it produced Me'ah She'arim, 100 times more than they thought. And this represents the ultimate bracha. The ultimate bracha is 666. That's why I purchased in Me'ah She'arim Eretz Yisrael. My address there is 666 Me'ah She'arim. Yes, 666. Me'ah She'arim. Me'ah She'arim is 666. And the parish is the sixth of the Ekebani, three sixes, 666. Actually, there is a peel, there are many who know this by heart. There's anyone saying Zmiris? There's a Zemer in the from the Zohar, Bevave, the Skatrum that I adorn Hashem with Vavs, three Vavs. The three Vavs are these three, there are many interpretations of what that means. Rashur always talks about that mention in the Zohar, the three Vavs, but I think one of the interpretations is this: sixth parasha, sixth Aliyah, and it begins with V'yitein Lecha. Okay, now with that introduction, let's discuss some of the themes of this week's parasha. The parasha begins Eile Toledos Ve'Eile. I'm sorry, you got me. Balkriya Ve'Eile. You got me. Ve'Eile Toledos Yitzhak ben Avraham. Avraham and Lidus Yitzhak. Now, this is not the first time we're going to discuss Yichus. Not going to discuss lineage. Lineage already was discussed in Parashas Bereishis. Lineage was discussed at the end of Parashas Noach, and lineage was discussed at the end of Parashas Chayesar with regard to the descendants of Yishmael. Okay, so we have the descendants Eile Toldos and the Parashas. But let me just read to you for the record. I'm not making this up. The end of the lineage. Rav Moravievsky spoke about the Toldos of Adon Bihiboram. There was Niyichos. That was just an Eile Toldos Hashamayim Haaretz. That was the Toldos of the heaven and the earth. But the end of the parasha, when the word Toldos is used in reference to the human beings that occupy the earth, it says in the end of Parashas, Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam B'yayim B'roi Elokim Adam B'tmus Elokim Asa Oso Zoch Nekeva. And then it goes on to say Adam, and it goes on to say Sheis and Enoish, Canaan, Gansa Maisa goes on, Vait and Vait. It's a very long Aliyah. You gotta really be on top of your game to go through the Sukkim and be a Balkriya and not make any mistakes and know how to read all these words, all the names, and make sure you get the numbers straight, no mistakes. Okay, so we have all the names. Then you go to Parashas Noach. Who are the descendants of Noach after the Mabul? What was destroyed? So we start all over. Eile Toldos Bnei Noach, and the Parashas Noach, Perek Yud. Shem Chom Vo Yofes. Then we come to Parashas Chaye Sara. Okay, the Balei Kriya know all these things. Then by the end of Chaye Sara, the Eile told us Yishmael ben Avraham. We're not Nachamal Yichos, nor told us. Aben Avraham, Asher Yoldo, Hagar, Mitzvah, Shivcha, Sara, Avraham, the Eile Shmos, the Yishmael, the Shmoy Sam, we go through his Yichos, all the way down, all the way down the line. Told us, what?
Lineage.
Not lineage. Lineage, going down. Lineage going down. We have over here his the father. This one produced, gave birth to this one father. This one we go down, list all the names. Parshas Toldos is the fourth. the fourth time since the beginning of the Torah that we're going to now give over generations. Toldos, the word toldos being used for the fourth time in the form of telling us who gave birth to who. How did the world, how did the people in this world, did they develop in as far as lineage? The Eile toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham. And shocking. And instead of going on and telling us, going down and telling us what happened, it says, we go backwards. We go up. Avraham Hayilid Es Yitzchak. It's the fourth time that we discuss lineage, but yet it's the first time that we are Mishane, that we, instead of going down, let's go down. Avraham Eile told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. So you expect who's Yitzchak. And then Rashi indeed says, who are the told us? It's like Mamash Astira. Because told us means the next generation. So Rashi, right away, the first Rashi in the parasha. Okay, you know everyone believes the first Rashi in the parasha. Yaakov Esav Amur Parasha. The told us are the next generation. Because what else do told us mean? Right? That told us mean. So we're done. So what do we need then? The words Avraham Hoylidis Yitzchak. This is going against the...
Well, what should have said? Esav and Yaakov are not born yet. How can you put it in the first puzzle?
Right.
They will be born. The whole parasha is telling us the story. The parasha, the Eileh told us, this is what the pasuk should have said. The Eileh told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, period. Soif pasuk. Right. And then now goes on to say, what are the told us? Let me tell you the story. The story is, Yitzchak was 40 years old. Next pasuk, Yitzchak ben Avraham Shoneh. Perfect. I'll tell you the toldos. I'm being much more elaborate. In all it says back in Parashas Noach and Bereish and Chayisara, Hoyled Ploini, Hoyled as Ploini. Ploini, he gave birth. He father. What's what Hoyled? Doesn't mean gave birth. What does it mean Hoyled? Hoyled. What's a good translation of what Hoyled?
Sired.
What? Sired. Sired. Hoyled as Ploini. So here we have a much more elaborate word for Hoyled. I'll tell you all the details. He got a shidduch, Yitzchak, he got married. She was an akara. They were mespalel. She got pregnant. She had birth pain. She had tsar chevli leit, tsar hiroyon. She goes to shame. There are two nations. Mazel tov, finally she was born. What's their name? Yaakov, Esav. So it's just, everything is just an elaboration of the toldos. Toldos always means Ploini, Hoylid es Ploini. The whole parasha is describing the word Hoylid es Ploini. All the parashas, Bereishis, Parashas Noach, Parashas Chayisara, the whole thing is summarized in one little word, Hoylid. Here, Parashas Toldos is very generous. We take the word Hoylid and we expand it. And we tell you, play by play, what the word Hoylid means. He got married, he found a shiv, the whole story. But before we get to the story, there's something that's in the way. There's some hefsek, there's something which does not belong here, which is inconsistent with the three previous usages of the word told us. And that is, we go back upstairs, we go back up a generation. Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham. Who are the toldos? Rashi, Yaakov, Esav, which we're now going to discuss in very great detail. And then it goes on to say, wait a minute, Avraham? Hoylidus Yitzchak. No. You got it wrong here, the pasuk. We're not going back up, we're going down. The word toldos means hoylid. Doesn't refer to what happened in the previous generation. What's going on here? These words, they stick out like a sore thumb. Pardon the expression. Doesn't belong here. This is inconsistent with Parashas Bereishis Noach and Bachayisara. Hagufa. This is actually the difference between us and them. The world is a very simple place. It's binary. It's black and white. There's us and there's them. In the world, by the non-Jews, in the door of Adam, in the generations of Noach, as far as Yishmael is concerned, it doesn't make a difference who your father is. You know why? Because they're better than their fathers. The fathers come from monkeys. The fathers are ancient. They're outdated. They're antiquated. Antiquated. They're not antiquated. They're irrelevant. They're irrelevant. They're a burden. That's the world. What are you going to do with the old people? They're irrelevant. The new generation. That's where all the action is. That's where the game is. That's what's happening. Klal Yisrael. This is what we're describing over here. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. And now we're going to the next generation. This is the beginning of a whole new world. Klal Yisrael, Avraham, Yitzchak. And now we're going down to the next generation. No. You know what the next generation is. The next generation, like Klal Yisrael, is not to go down. The next generation is to go up. To take pride and honor in where you come from. This is the chilik between the toldos of Klal Yisrael and the toldos of the whole world. The whole world in Bereishis, Noach, and Chayisara, that's not relevant where they come from. Kibud Av V'Em is just, it's not relevant. Klal Yisrael's pride is the past. We're not better. Niskatnu Hadayras. You see this in the hospitals, Rahman al-Sultan people, when Jewish people, children, come to care for their parents, Rahman al-Sultan in the hospitals, the devotion, you hear this all the time. The non-Jewish staff, this is what they do for the parnasa. They're people, elderly people. How often do children come? So by non-Jews, it's a very poor showing. It's a very, they're busy, they don't have time, they come. It's not my problem. The degree of respect and reverence and care that children show in Klal Yisrael for their elders is very significant. I mean, it should be. Unfortunately, sometimes it's not what it really should be, 100%. But beruba deruba, this is the message. The message is, you're told us, before you go weiter into the next generation, make sure you appreciate where you come from. Okay, new idea. Another idea. What? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the monkey. Famous, everyone knows the story. They're better when the new generation is better, because the old generation comes with the monkey. We come from Sinai. The one when the Skadu Hador is Adrab, it's better to go backwards. Okay, the next Joshua. Rabbi Rashi over here says Yaakov the Esav of Muma Parasha. What does Rashi come to? I told you that's Shul Mikra. What does Rashi come to allude to? So I want to say the following drush. End of the parasha, the very end of the parasha. Soif Maisa Machshav Tchila. What happens? Rivka says to Yitzchak, it's time for Yaakov to get married. And we have to find him a good shidduch. And I katzti b'chayai b'nei b'nois ches. The locals is not what I had in mind for my son Yaakov. I don't want, better you should go back to my family, to Lavan, maybe you can find something over there. Send him away. So Yitzchak calls him in, and he listens. Yitzchak says to Yaakov, it's time for you to get married. He was 77 years old when he got married. Shouldn't wait for 77 years old to get married, but he goes, that's how old he was. So he told Yaakov, he said, go get married, go. And he listens. It's like, Yishma Yaakov. He was the best son. A son that listens to his father when it comes to Shaduchim cannot be better than that. You can't do better than that. When your parents tell you who to marry and you listen to them, that's off the charts. So it says over here, let me turn to the page. There's the famous Rashi by Yishlach. Yitzchak es Yaakov vayelech padena Aram. He sent him off. He went to padena Aram. Elavon ben Besuel Harami. Who is this man? Mihu zeve ezehu. Who is Lavan ben Besuel Harami? She is Achi Rivka. He is the brother of Rivka. Who is Rivka? Oh, you want to know who Rivka is? Rivka is Aim, the mother of Yaakov ve'Esav. Rivka is the mother of Yaakov ve'Esav. Oh, we don't know that? I have to go into the whole parasha. That's a novelty to us. We don't know who that is. I'll show you in a moment. It is a novelty. But in any event, what does Rashi say? Rashi says something very shocking. Everyone knows this Rashi. Rashi passed the Ke'em Yaakov ve'Esav. Eini yodea ma milamdenu. Rashi, the ultimate, the Rabban Shel Yisrael confesses, I don't know what these words are coming to teach us. Okay, so this is opened up in the Olam Hadrush, worlds and worlds. What is Rashi saying when he means Eina Yodea? Does he really mean he doesn't know, or he's telling you that's the pshat? What does it mean exactly? I'm not coming to address that. Okay, I just want to point out these words over here, words that stand out. I want to make the following drush. The Eile told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. What are the true toldos of Yitzchak? So what does Rashi say? You want to know what Rashi himself is really answering his own question when it says later on in the parasha. Taka, these words by themselves, I don't know what they mean. But when you take these words and you go back to the beginning of the parasha, I want to make a drush and say you have to connect dots. first Rashi in this parsha is the Eile Todos Yitzchak, Yaakov ve'Esav, who are Murim beParsha. What does Rashi say? Yaakov, the first one, what are the Todos of Yitzchak? The Todos of Yitzchak are Yaakov and Esav, who are Murim, that are mentioned in the parsha. Where is Yaakov and Esav mentioned in the parsha? Well, tell me, it says only 100 times. No, Rashi is referring to one very specific time. The Yaakov the Esav mentioned in the parsha at the very end of the parsha, when it says, who is Rivka? Rivka is the mother of Yaakov the Esav. Those are the toldos. What is Rashi Hamshah? So I would say, Drush is, the person wants to have toldos, wants to have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, wants to have a legacy, be careful who you marry. It all depends on the wife. If you have a smart wife, then you're going to have toldos. Because Yaakov, when it says Yaakov and Esav, at the end of the parasha, they're connected to who? To Rivka. Rivka, who is the mother of Yaakov and Esav. Rivka knew, understood her children. She knew the strengths and weaknesses of her children. She knew who deserved the brachas. She knew where Yaakov should go. Yaakov should get away from Esav because Esav is going to kill him. And Esav, Yaakov should go and find the shidduch, go get the right shidduch, stay away from Bnei Ches. She saw what the Bnei Ches were like because Esav took for himself two wives from Bnei Ches. So Rivka, she called the shots. She wore the pants. There's no question about it. She called all the shots in this parasha. She decided who got the brachas. She decided who Yaakov married. And she went, she was so clever. She made it as if Yitzhak thought, like every typical good, successful marriage, the husband thinks he's making the decisions because the wife is so clever, she's making the decisions, but she's so clever to make it that such that the husband thinks that he's the one that's making the decision. She was the ultimate wife. That's why the Torah idolizes this marriage in Ha'ev Chayisara.
So another person talks more by the father's line. Here he switches to the mother's line.
Oh, so I'm saying this, but it's more saying the father, if the father wants to have good children, he needs to have a good wife who knows how to make the right decisions and knows how to make the decisions should be done in a way where she's able to make it look like that the husband is making the decision, so he has the satisfaction of thinking that he's a big chacham. He knows what he's doing. This is the toldos. That is exactly what Rashi over here is coming to allude to al derech drush. The Eile, if you want to know what the toldos of Yitzchak ben Avram are, Rashi doesn't say. Right? Doesn't even say. What are they? Rashi says, I'll tell you what the real toldos are. The real toldos can be seen in the pasuk at the end of the parasha where it says, Rivka, Aim, the mother, Yaakov ve'Esav. Those words, Yaakov ve'Esav, ha'murim b'parasha, the word Yaakov and Esav, murim b'parasha, which Rashi there says, Eina yodea, those words are only there as a subordinate, as a tofel, as an underling to Rivka. Rivka, who is their mother. And Rivka, at the end of the parasha, comes out gold. She's the one that was clever to make all the decisions, to make sure everything in Klal Yisrael falls into place. No mistakes are made. And Klal Yisrael is now on the right track to reach what's meant to be. This is the toldos. The toldos of Yitzchak was the blessing that he had a good wife. That he was zoicha to find for himself a wife like Rivka, who was able to produce a Yaakov and Esav, and knew how to handle them, and knew how to guide them, how to be madrich them to get where they meant to go. So Rashi at the end of the parasha is really answering his original Rashi. Ein yodia mamalamdam. These words are totally extra. They're not here for anything by other than themselves. So what are they here for? It must be they're here just to be to give. Emphasis to the word before it. These words are just tofel to Rivka. Is Rivka? Who is Rivka? She is the mother of Yaakov Esav. Now that we know that these words are here just to give, to highlight, put the limelight on Rivka, now we can appreciate who the real toldos of Yitzchak. The success that Yitzchak was able to produce toldos was he took for himself a proper shech. So good for Shem Brachas. No?
Yeah.
Okay, Mazel Tov to this excellent on the on the marriage of your grandson.
Yeah.
And this week is you're celebrating the Shabbos Sheva Brachos. Mazel Tov, Mashiach. Lar lar nachas. Tiv mamshich nachas. Mazel Tov. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yitzchak comes home. Esav comes home from the field, and he says to his father, "Father," says to Yaakov, "Yaakov, haliteni na min ha'adoyim ha'adoyim hazek yoyef anoichi. Feed me. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I just did five avera. I just did averas chamuros. The gimel averas chamuros. I'm tired. Okay, you want the mizradashim. I'll make a business deal with you. Sell me the firstborn right." He sells it. And when he starts, should I not sell? So he says, you know what? Why not? Hinei anoichi hoylech lamus. What's life about anyway? I'm going to die anyway one day and one day, tomorrow. I'm involved in dangerous business. I go hunting. The animals attack me. Do you see the news that Meshi Ze'ev, is that his name? Meshi Ze'ev? The one who is the head of Zaka. So he is incredible. You got to read this. Incredible. He was on a training mission in Africa. Is that where he was?
Zambia.
Where?
Zambia.
Zambia? Where is that? Zambia. So he was there on a training mission. So while he was there, so they decided to go to the safari, and they took him to the safari, and a lion attacked him.
He was walking with a lion.
Whole story. A lion attacked him. So if you know, I follow him. I find him to be a very fascinating person. He's a very, very fascinating person. They have articles about him all the time in these magazines and newspaper. He's a very fascinating personality in Israel. The whole Israel is fascinated, and the UN is fascinated with him. Also, the whole Goyish world is very fascinated with him. Hasidic fellow who started Zaka, and they deal with very unpleasant things. And he said, the one thing you can say about him, reading all the articles, he's fearless. Fearless. Nothing gets him. You got to read about him. And he said, I read this week, the first time in my life I experienced fear was when the lion gave him a shove. The lion pushed him down and gave him a shove. It was the first time in my life I experienced pachat. I felt power. I felt the power, the awesome might, the koyach of the Ari. It's very fascinating thing what happened to him and his reaction, how he describes what happened to him. So here Esav says, you know, I live a very delicate life. One day I go hunting, and who knows, the day can come when a lion can attack me, I can be killed in an instant. So therefore, you know what, I'm going to sell the Bechorah. Okay, very good. Bechorah, you would say Esav was a very religious person. He saw in front of him the Yoyim HaMisa. Don't Chazal say, if a person wants to become Baal Madrega, you say Kriya Shema. First you go to the Beis Medrash. Beis Medrash doesn't work. Shir is boring. You fall asleep. So you say Kriya Shema. That doesn't work. Then Yaske Yom HaMisa. So Esav was a very religious person. He was Yaske Yom HaMisa. So why then? So not bad, right? Not bad. Let's go to the Brachos. The Brachos, Yitzchak says, when he calls es Esav b'nei ha'gadol, v'yomer elav b'ni, v'yomer hineni, v'yomer hineni no zakanti, lo yodati yoim moisi. I'm going to die. It's a good shidduch. It's a gewaltige shidduch. Yitzchak says, I'm going to die. I see Misa before me. Esav, I see Misa before me. Maybe this was one of the reasons why Yitzchak had an affinity to Esav. Esav and Yitzchak, they share this theme in the parasha. Both of them explicit in the pasuk. Both of them express in the parasha the pachad misa. It's a din of a darg of misa that changes a person's outlook on life. Isn't that amazing? If you attack and see the yom misa, that influences your daily decisions and how you live your life, because you know that it's all temporary. How long are you going to be around this world? So maybe l'chor contributing factor as to why Yitzchak selected Esav to be the one who's going to receive the brachas. So the question though is, so what about Rivka? How come she did not see eye to eye? Why did Hashem mask him to the Rivka? Why is there a difference? So I saw another question asked. The question is, there's a grammatical difficulty in this pasuk. It says here that Yitzchak said, Hinei na, behold now, or me na, hard to translate the word na, I don't know how to translate the word na, but zokanti is in the past tense. I'm sorry, hinei, lo yodati, I do not know. Yodati is the word which means in the past tense. I do not know in the past when I died. That's not the way you would construct this sentence. If you were in yeshiva and you were told to construct this sentence, you would say hine lo eda, eda yoy moise. You would get an F for constructing a pasuk in this fashion. That's why it's so hard to learn grammar from Torah, because there's so much drush. It's hard, really. The traditional mikra is very, very inconsistent. So the correct construction of this pasuk hine lo eda, I do not know in the future when I will die. Hiyaka has not yet died. He's still alive and kicking. He didn't die yet. So why does it say lo yodati in the past tense? My high. What's going on over here? So a couple of weeks ago I was talking about a kiddush, and then someone spoke and he said as follows. He says the person, he was making a joke, and then he used this joke as a way to really bring out a point, and it's very powerful. I think it fits perfectly into what it says over here. He says that the person they went to a funeral and they said that it was not a matseva. They wrote a person matseva. Nu nebuch, this person, he died when he was 30 years old, but wasn't buried until he was 80. What does that mean? It means when he was 30 years old, he stopped growing spiritually. You go to yeshiva, you go to kollel, this, that, you get married, you go to a shir, and then you reach a plateau. And then you're just busy with parnasa, with tzar gidl banim, with tirdis, with distractions. Life is very distracting. It's very, very hard to find the time to develop, to grow, to steig. It's very, very hard. No one's to blame. That's the way life is. No matter, even if you're in koilo, it's hard to steig. Okay? That's life. It's a very, very big... People, on the matseva, it's a joke. He died at 30. He really stopped accomplishing spiritually in his life at 30, but it took until he was 80 years old until he left this world. It's a very sad thing that, unfortunately, can be said about many people. Rahman al-Islam. That's exactly what Yitzchak said. Yitzchak said, here I am. How old was he at this point in time? I don't know. I'm sure Rabbi Meisel can tell us, make a calculation. How old he was at this point, probably says somewhere explicitly, make a calculation. He was an elderly man, Yitzchak. He was blind. And he said, I'm looking back at my life. Hine lo yodati, I do not know yoy maisi. Let's say I make up a mess. I'm already 100 and 150. When did I die?
123? Yeah.
And he died when he was 180, right?
Yeah.
180. So I'm 123 years old. When did I die? Did I die when I was 70? Did I die when I was 60? Did I die at the Akedah when I was 37? When did I die? When did I stop growing in life? Well, I was 37, I was still alive. That was another spitz. That was my the highlight of my life. I got married, so maybe I steig. I got married at 40 years old. Got married, Rivka, I had two children. I don't really know when I died. I'm looking back at my life. I'm critical. I'm critical of myself. Am I really growing in life, or am I just imitating? Every day is just an imitation of what I did yesterday. It's not growth. It's spiritual growth. That's the way Yitzchak looked at life. And if we're saying, it could be I already died. So I already died. It's just a matter of time until my neshama leaves the guf. I better give you the brachas right now. It's not because I don't know the future. No, the truth is, he was afraid because of his mother. Right? So he's saying 5 years within Sarah. That's Rashi Tak says. 5 years. I forgot. 5 years within Sarah. So Sarah was 127, so it was 5 years. Okay, so that's pshat. My mother had 5 years left. It's pshat. I'm not taking away Rabban Shlomo Yisrael Rashi. But maybe I'll derech drush. I could have a long way to go. My doctor tells me my numbers are fantastic. All my numbers are great. Everything is good. And the government, I have a pension, v'chulu, everything is smooth sailing. I could expect to live life expectancy 180. But something? I better give you the brachas now because I'm critical of myself. Lo yodati, I don't know. It could be I already died. And the brachas are going to get stale because my spiritual koyach, I don't feel it's going higher and higher. What did Esav say? How did he live his life? Hine anochi holech lamus. I'm alive and well. I'm alive and kicking. I'm great. I don't know when I will die in the future. Life goes on. It's the complete opposite approach to life. Esav says, today is a gevaldige day. Today I'm going to go hunting. Tomorrow I'm going to the Hamptons. Next week is Thanksgiving, I'm going skiing. And next week, the week after, I'm going to the Amazon, on to the safari to go on a tour. And then the week after, I'm going on a cruise. life goes on. Hine lo yodad, hine anochi holech lamos. Nu, I'm going to die eventually. I might as well live it up now. Death is in front of him, not behind him. Now that would sound like, on a very similar level, maybe it's a maila, it's an advantage. No, it's not an advantage. It's not an advantage. When you're critical of your spiritual growth, it's a disadvantage. Because to look back and to challenge yourself, am I growing? You don't have to think about death. That's not in your hands anyway. It's not in your control. Have I accomplished? You hear a lot of Gedolim, they say, what have I accomplished today? You go to sleep at night. Did I accomplish anything? Did I have something to show for myself today? Did I do anything? Did it make a dent in me? I already died yesterday. So that, when you look back at the past and you challenge yourself, maybe I died already yesterday, so tomorrow I'm going to try to do something to say that I even if I stop here, even if I accomplish nothing more, at least I lived another day. If I'll accomplish something tomorrow, I'll be able to say that my date of death was at least one day later. Because if I accomplish nothing tomorrow, then my date of death was yesterday, or the day before, or last month. When you challenge yourself, it's much better to look at your date of death in the past. If you look at your date of death in the future, you're fooling yourself. You're living a life of make-believe. I'm alive and well, everything is fine and great, and you're complacent. I'm growing, life is wonderful. You're not challenging yourself. You're not gonna force yourself to do anything significant. Here is where lies the fundamental difference between Esav and Yitzchak. And this, on the one hand, is very, on the one hand, they focus on death. So therefore, it's a very good shidduch. The one that should get the bracha should indeed be Esav, because you know they're mamish on the same page. But when you look at it in a much deeper level, the past versus the future, worlds apart. Worlds apart. And the one that had the insight to understand, to see this difference is who? It's Rivka. She saw the difference between Hine Anochi, Holech Lamus. Death is in the future. Yitzchak is a person, Hine Lo Yodati Yoimoyasi. I don't know when I died. When they're going to write on the Matseva, they're going to write about me. He died at 47, at 37. He wasn't buried. For sure they're going to write, he wasn't buried until 180. But when is the date when I die? I stop growing. Powerful, this is a very powerful way to look at death, do different perspectives, the difference between the world of Klal Yisrael and the world of Esav. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here a very, very frightening Rashi. Rashi says, it says that she was an Akara, Rivka was an Akara. Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem Lenoichach Yishtoi Ki Akorahi. Rashi says Lenoichach, they both sat in opposite corners. Yitzchak Davin along Shmona Esrei, Rivka Davin along Shmona Esrei. They both cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the pasuk says something very bizarre. Vayeoser Loi Hashem, Hashem accepted the prayer Loi of Yitzchak, v'atar Rivka yishto. Rashi, ein doime l'fish ein doime tefil tzadik ben tzadik ben rasha l'tefil tzadik ben tzadik. You can't compare the two. You can't compare the tefil of a tzadik ben tzadik to a tzadik ben rasha. Let me ask you, if Hashem anyway is going to answer the tefil of Yitzchak, the tzadik ben tzadik, so what's so bad? So you'll be, so at the same time, you know, two for one sale. So I'll accept the tefillah of the tzaddik ben Rasha also. And what's so bad with the tefillah of the tzaddik ben Rasha, Rivka? Her tefillah wasn't a good tefillah. What's going on over here? Hashem, you only want to accept the tefillah of Yitzchak. Why not? Just because ain't a doime, she ain't a doime. Okay, it's not doime. So it's not doime. So the tefillah of a person that's not a tzaddik, Hashem doesn't listen to? We know that's not so. Hashem listens to everyone's tefillahs. Hashem grants anyone a tefillah, even if you're not a tzaddik. Koshen, you're a tzaddik. And just because the person is the father is a rasha, and like we learned yesterday, some say, put fucking if you're a rasha, and you go against the grain, that's in very great respect, a very, very big maila. So why? Why couldn't Hashem answer a tefillah? And if Hashem anyway is going to answer the tefillah of Yitzchak, you have to insult her. You have to insult her, and you have to say to her, no, your tefillah, arois, I reject it. I'm only answering the tefillah of you. What's going on over
here? Once his tefillah got answered because he had this smilo, tzadik ben tzadik, then there was really no reason to answer her tefillah.
No, but why not? You have to insult her. Let her feel good. Vayaser loy. The word loy is almost an insult. Rivka, out. Basically, the word loy is telling Rivka, Rivka, I'm not answering your prayer. I don't accept it. It has been rejected. Return to sender. Okay? Bounced. Okay? You get an email, you send an email, it comes right back. The recipient did not get your email. There's no such address. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, Hashem has really outright rejected her tefillah for, to what us seems, no good reason. And who still is accepted? Yitzchak, tzaddik ben tzaddik. What's going on over here? Okay, hold that thought for one moment. Big question. One of the commentators is: why didn't she go to? Why didn't she go to Yitzchak? You have to go to another Rosh Hashiva. You have to go to Shem. Why didn't she go? Why didn't she go to? You tell Yitzchak, I got a problem with it. Yitzchak, you know, the children, something very strange. When I pass the Avot Zarah, it's Mefarches Lot says. When I pass the Beis Medrash, she has to go to Shem. L'chayra, her husband was ganz fein a Talmud Chacham, ganz fein a Rosh Hashiva. What is she running to another Talmud Chacham to Shem? So Shem is the senior Zaken Hadar. Okay. So what does Shem say? Shem says, "Lo, Vayomer Hashem." Rashi says, "Hashem" means Ruach Hakodesh. "Lo, I have a message for you only, not for your husband." Also, a Pella. She didn't go together. They should go together to the Rebbe. You have to go alone. This is for you to know, and it's not for your husband. Now, I can't ignore the fact that when it comes to the Tzilah, Vayaser Loi, Loi V'Loi La. And therefore, we have the right. Okay, we have the right, full right. Now, darshen, vayomer Hashem la la v'loy loy. She got the answer. The Ashnei goyim v'nech Ashnei l'umim v'rav yavoy tzair. Before we go further, so okay, that's, keep that point, keep that thought in mind as well. Put it together in one moment. Third question: what in the world is going on? Rivka receives the message from Hashem. Vayomer Hashem lo. That's how the pasuk presents it. There are shnei goyim v'nechu, shnei lumim, oim milom yemotz, the rav. What does the rav mean? The older one, ya'avod, will serve the tzoir. So who deserves the bracha? The tzoir. I mean, isn't it explicit? No equals. They're not going to be equal. One's going to be greater than the other. And the rav, the older brother, is going to serve the tzoir. So Shem told her, b'shem Hashem, explicitly, the legacy of Klal Yisrael will come from Yaakov, not from Esav. So why doesn't he just take this document, this confidential document, and pass it on to Yitzchak? Yitzchak, this is what Hashem said. I have received intelligence from the Pamal Yishal Maila. It is signed by the Ribbono Shel Olam that the one that Hashem wants to receive the bracha should be Yaakov Avinu. What's going on over here? This is no secret, this is no big deal. Hashem explicitly told her who should get the brachas. So she didn't share the information with her husband? So they have three different issues. Why the tefillah was loy v'loy la? Why was the intelligence given la v'loy loy? And why didn't she share the information with Yitzchak in order to have a smooth transition? What is going on over here? Okay, I want to answer this with another vart. Famous vart from Rabbi Ruchem Levavitz. Ruchem, the Mashkiach. And the Mashkiach, is it then Levavitz? Leibowitz? Levavitz? Levavitz. The Mashkiach from the Mir. I believe he's the one that says vart. He says that, you know that Shmuel was Moire HaLacha Bifnei Rabbi. Shmuel was a Talmud of Eli HaKoyen, the child of Chana. And it was a shaila shchita kasher bazar, is shchita not kasher bazar, and Shmuel paskin the halacha, and his rebbe, and his Eli, the Eli HaKohen Gadol said, Shmuel, very good, you paskin the halacha, you're right, but you know, you're a marlach with a rabbo, you're chayiv misa, you're gonna die, you made a big mistake. The stakes are very high here. You come here to learn the base, Hamilish, and the my authority, it's dangerous grounds here. And unfortunately, you made a big mistake, and I'm sorry, that's the way life goes. We have no understanding of what this means, but that's what he told him. You're Moira Halacha Bifnei Rabo, you're going to die. Who found out? He calls home, picks up the cell phone, he sends a text, Ma, bad news, I'm going to die. Eli said, I'm going to die. So what happens? The next thing, immediately, Chana, she cancels all of her appointments. She gets on the next plane. She's there before Eli. I call you the next day. Eli, what's this text I got from my son Shmuel? He's going to die. Well, what is this all about? He was Malach Bifnei Rabbi. Eli, remember, I was here. I was Mispalel. I'm Chana. Don't give me the Haftarah. Down Rashad, give me the Haftarah. I was Mispalel. You can't do this. So he says, I'm sorry, he made a mistake, and you're right, you're Taka right, I promised you a child, so you know what, don't worry, he will die, you will go home, and you'll get pregnant, and you'll have another child. So it should fulfill the promise, it says the Medrash, it should fulfill the promise that I made to you. But this guy, he's out, the game is over for him. He's out, and you have a haftach to have a child, you'll have another child. So she says to him, very powerful, as Ruchum Lovet says, El Hanar Hazeh Hispalolti. If he dies and I go home and I have another child, that child won't come near the toenails of this child. Because the new baby that I'm going to conceive will be a bracha from you. It will not be a product of prayer. It will be a child. I got lucky. I got lucky. I got a bracha from a great Rebbe. Give me a bracha. I have a baby. Wow, mazel tov. I have a baby. This child, do you know how many tears I shed to have this child, Shmuel? This child that I have is not just stam a child. This child is a product of the koich of tefillah. El hanar hazeh hispalot. Eli said, you're right. You're right. Hayrasha, he's not going to die. He's going to live. Okay, whatever that means. Whatever that means, that means. Okay. So, El Hanar Hazeh Hislo. Okay, so here we have over here. Now let's go back. Let's put everything now together. Vayisroitz Abana Bikirba. Over here. We have over here. She's Rivka's Nakara. The Mispalel. What is the Mispalel? Vayom the Mispalel. Vayetar Hashem. Lo loy v'loy lo. Hashem. I want to say some drush now. Hashem deliberately went out of his way to reject her tefillah. These two children you're carrying in your womb, they're not the product of your tefillah. And therefore, guess what? They're not even your children. Whose children are they? They are the children of Yitzchak. Vayeta vayeoser loy Hashem vataha Rivka ishto. The children in your womb, you're a surrogate mother. You're carrying in your womb two babies, they're not even really yours. Because these babies are not the product of your tefillah, they are the product of who? Of Yitzchak. Yes. And you know something, Rivka? I'm doing you the biggest favor by not answering your prayer. You know what the biggest favor is? Because if these would be your children, you would be nogeya bedavar. A parent cannot see the defects of their own children. This is a reality. You read in all the magazines that talk about child. Parent comes to school, the school throws the child out of school, the child is suspended. How can you suspend my tzaddikal? My tzaddikal, what are you out of your mind? I'll sue the school, I'll burn the school down. I'm sorry, you know, your child, he committed every aver in the book. And I'm sorry, this is what has to be. Impossible. My child is a tzaddik. The reality, this is one of the biggest problems in disagreements between school administrators and parents, is they don't see eye to eye. This is because parents cannot possibly see the problems in their own children. And so recently, very fascinating thing is that people, they talk about that problem with the internet at home. Children who go on the internet, they do things on the internet that are not proper. So one of the children, they interviewed different people, so one of the children says, you know what the problem is? And the mamash hit the nail on the head. Our parents think we're so innocent. The parents don't even want to have filters, don't want to even do it, because the parents don't even believe in their minds that it's possible that their children would do something wrong online. The parents cannot bring themselves to that frame of mind where they can see a chesaron, a weakness in their own children, and they let their guard down. They let their guard down and they just trust their children. It's a mitzias. It's a mitzias in the world. A parent cannot see the negias of their own child. If this child was a product of Rivka, she would be blind, just like Yitzchak was blind. Vatichena einav meraos. Chazal Taka say this. His eyes were dim. What does it mean, dims? He could not see the defects in Esav. Esav was a ratzeach. He was a menoif. He was a ganof. Yitzchak, you don't see what's going on in front of your eyes. There's no youngster over here at this point in time. You didn't see what's going on your whole life? No, that's right. You know why? Because he's a nogea bedavar. Why is he nogea bedavar? It's my child. Why is it my child? It's not a stam my child. Vaye oser loy Hashem el hanar hazeh hispalolti. This is the product of my koyach tefillah. If Rivka would come and say, you know what Hashem told me? Hashem said to me that V'rav Yavot Soyer. You know what Yitzchak would do? When it says Rav and Soyer, it's Lomdis. It's Rav Chaim, they had Tzvei Dinim in Rav, they had Tzvei Dinim in Soyer. It's Lomdis, it's Pilbul. He would Fadrei the Pasik and the Nevuah a million times over not to find the Chesaron in his children. That's what a parent does. And that's what a parent should do. That's the role of a parent, to be protective of your children. That's the way it's supposed to be. Hashem to Rivka, the ultimate favor. Hashem said to Rivka, guess what? This is not your child. You're just a surrogate mother. It's like you went to some type of medical facility and they put babies inside of you. These are not your children. Mamil, you're not no gay bedavar. If you're not no gay bedavar, you can look at these two people, these two children, with your own perspective, objectively. Hashem insulted her with the biggest insult in the beginning of her life. She's sitting and crying out her head, and Hashem says to her, Hashem said, Loi v'loi la. Rivka, you were good for nothing. I mean, Hashem to say that. I take it back. Rivka, I reject your tefillas. And they also, she says, is it because of Lava? My brother is Lava, my father is Besuel. She was hurt. Yeah. She had to be hurt. These are not my children. They're his children. I'm a surrogate mother. They're not mine. I'm just a nanny raising them. That gave her the ultimate blessing. The advantage of seeing who they are for real. Therefore, when now she goes to Hashem, Lidus Hashem, Vayomer Hashem La. Only you will understand the emes of pshat in the nevuah, because only you are objective, because Hashem did not listen to your tefillos. And that is why she now was successful in bringing about what had to be done. So Soif Ma'is Ma'achshav Etchil Kodesh Baruch Hu, he controlled the whole scene from the very, very beginning. What do we learn from Rivka? Let me take a step back. How many, the ultimate tefillah is what? Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate Baal Tzvila. How do we know that Moshe was the ultimate Baal Tzvila? Because Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al toisef l'daber elai oid v'adaber hazeh. Ad kan. One more Tzvila, you win. So you got to stop now. What is the gematria of a Voeschanan? 515. It's a famous chazal. I'm not a gematria man, but these things are very popular. Moshe was mispalel 515 tefillos, and the first they make calculations. When did he start? 3 times a day. V'chulu. They have beautiful drush on the 515 tefillos. What is the gematria of Yitzchak plus Rivka? I checked it out this morning to make sure. It's not my vart. It's 515. Yitzchak and Rivka, they represent the koyach of tefillah. This week's parasha, it says they stood. They represent the koyach of tefillah. It says vayetar. What is the pasuk again? Vayetar Yitzchak laHashem lenoichach ishta. The ultimate suit of tefillah is when the husband and wife are on the same page. Lenoichach, they're in sync. Okay, that's a very good word today in the computer world. It's one of the most popular new words today. Sync. All of the systems, the clouds, have to be in sync. Okay, your desktop, your Android, your iPhone, and the clouds, they're all in sync. Big business today. The business of going, being in sync today, you could be a billionaire if you know how to get into the niche of being in sync. I lost out on that, okay? But being in sync is the big, that's the name of the game today. It's a big, big thing today. Everything, it's all the technology, is about being in sync. That's what it says, the Neichachisha. They were in sync to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki akorahi. And it's Koyach HaTzvila. And in fact, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, what do? When we begin, we begin to daven. But we come to HaMelech. We reverse the words. We play around. We manipulate those words so it should spell on a big grois oisios. Yitzchak Rivka. Why? Why are we Mashane on Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is Dev Tzvila. We go into Baruch Hu HaMelech, into Tefillah with Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak and Rivka Begematria 515. 515 is the Koyach of Tefillah. Voeschanan El Hashem, Voeschanan Moshe Rabbeinu, the Koyach of Tefillah. But wait a minute. Pumfakert. Who did Hashem listen to? Yitzchak. Rivka Hashem rejected. Return to sender. Rivka is the Rivka. You know that Koyachat. Everyone's dashing. Tfila, tfila, tfila. You know what you learn from Rivka? The Koyach of Hashem to reject your tfila. Hashem at times rejects your tfila. And why does he reject your tfila? It's not for your good. And why is it not for your good? Because if it was, Hashem would have, okay, I'm anyway going to give you a baby. I'm going to give you two. I'm anyway. I know, so come along. I'll also let you feel good. You can say also, Rivka. You can also say, like Chana, El Hanar, Hazes, Balalti. No, Rivka, I want to insult you. I want to insult you. Your Koyach HaTzvila has absolutely nothing to do with these children. These children are only the children of Yitzchak. They're not yours. I'm thoroughly rejecting you. Can you imagine Rosh Hashanah? You're coming in Rosh Hashanah and you take Rivka, Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak Hashem accepts. Rivka, Hashem told Rivka the Koyach to reject Tefillah. Why? Because now that I've rejected your Tefillah, I'm going to give you a different gift. And what's the gift? Vayoymer Hashem la. Shnei goyim bevidnech. V'rav yavoy tsoyer. This is your tafkid. You know this now. And this is inconsistent. They're mutually exclusive. Now that I've rejected your tefillah, that's now how I can give you this bracha. V'rav yavoy tsoyer. And that's how you can save Klal Yisrael. You can now be the toldos. Yaakov ve'Esav ho'amurim b'parsha. The ganz Klal Yisrael, the tolus of Klal Yisrael is Rivka. Why? Because I insulted you. There is probably no bigger insult in Jewish history than what Hashem did to Rivka. To write this pasuk after a person has come and is mevakesh before the rebirth for a child, something that is so sensitive, the sensitivity to children, even the goyim have seichel to realize children are off limits. Don't chepa with someone's children. And here she's mispalul neichach ishtoi ki akorahi, and Hashem goes and insults her publicly. Vayaser loy v'loy la. Can you imagine how hurt she was? And yet it was for the ultimate bracha, the ultimate bracha. The whole klal Yisrael is only because of Rivka, because Hashem rejected it. And instead gave her the intelligence. Vayoyimer Hashem la v'loy loy. Okay, so this is the Mahalik in the parasha. Mahalik in the parasha that brings together.
So that's why she went to shame, because Yitzchak couldn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Is because they're not his children. Whatever shame will tell him. You can be blind, you can see miracles. We know all of that. You see things in front of your face. What? You're blind. Why? Because you live in your own world of reality. You're not objective. This is a reality. People have negias. You have negias. It's impossible. She had no negias. Hashem told her, they're not your children. Okay, let's finish up with one last part. Let me pick something over here. Okay, I want to tell you a lot more, but all right, let's just complete one last thing to wind down with. I'm not sure what the last quick I really want to tell you two. I want to see if I tell you two quick, two very, very short. This I really enjoyed. This to these two things. I'll try to do things very, very quick. Keep it up, aim. Yitzchak. Who do the Chazal say was the person who was mechabed the father more than anyone else? Esav. He is the mashal. Where do you find him mechabed his father here? Show me the Kibbutz Avraham. Show me in the pasuk the Kibbutz Avraham. He tzayid b'fif. He brings some good food. So you call in. So you go call in. Kosher delight all of Hashalim. You call him in. You send him some good stuff. Meal mark. You call them in. Come on. What's the key? That's the Kibbutz Avraham. Really, people do for their parents. They eat gourmet meals. I'll show you the real Kibbutz Avraham. This week's parasha says that Yitzchak. What did Yitzchak do? Yitzchak. Chazal say he was one of the first people to give Meiser. They measured, it says, I've got the exact pasuk, Ne'osh Sha'arim. Okay, they measured, they went to plant in the field, and they make calculations, and what did they discover? It was 100 times more than they expected. What?
I'm not Avraham?
Oh, they gave Avraham.
They gave
Avraham. Some learn that Avram gave them. There's machloikis in the Rishonim. But Pasha says they gave Avram. Who's the first one who gave Meiser? Who gave Meiser? It doesn't say Avram. It says Yitzchak is the first one who gave Meiser. And in fact, Chazal say, I think there's a Chazal that says that he's the one who invented it. He's one. So this is Pasha. I have to find the Pasuk here at a time. But the Pasuk says that they went, they measured. It was 100 times more than they assumed. Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ha'achiv ha'yimso ba'shonahim me'o sh'arim vayivarecheyu ha'ashem Pasuk Yud Beis. What's all of a sudden they measured? Shamdua kama ruya la'asois v'yos alach asram demia Rabbi Sin Amru oy meitzeh l'masra yisho. Because he wanted to give Meiser. He invented the Mitzvah Meiser, and Chazal said he was always in the incorporated Meiser. What did Esav do? Esav said, Kitzayid b'fif tata. How are you mafresh Meiser from salt and from tevin, straw? In other words, real Kibbutz Avraham is when you preserve the legacy of your father. The legacy of Yitzchak was Meiser, stock Meiser. Yitzchak, tata, this is what Chidush Torah. I'm going to publish a ganze sefer on the laws of Meiser. I'm going to publish Yechidushim on Meiser. Tevin. Not just that, he was a frummer. He couldn't care less about Esav could care less about the Meiser on straw and on salt. He couldn't care less about this. But Father, if this is what's important for you, Meiser, you a Mechadish Meiser, you know what? I'm going to sponsor a koilel that's going to learn Meiser. And we're going to know every single prat. Do I care about mice? I couldn't care less about mice. Maybe my grandchildren will one day, mice, they'll be observant. They'll be tzaddikim. But if this is what means something to you, Father, then it means something to me. I'm going to take care of mice. That's the ultimate Kibbutz Avraham. And that's a very big Musa Haskel for us. Is that when it comes to Kibbutz Avraham, of course, we're B'nai Avraham. Yitzhak, we're observant. Shemot Torah mitzvahs. But even within that framework, being Shemot Torah mitzvahs, what was chashev to your father? What miktsaya in halacha and avoid did your father enjoy? So you know what? Take that. Be better than Esav. Don't just sponsor a koilo. Be observant in that inyan as well. Okay, last very short vart. Katzti b'chayai b'bnei b'nei tzches. You got to ship him out. Ship him out to boarding school because he can't marry one of the locals. I can't take these girls. There's a small kuf. Why is there a small kuf? So I saw this in the Sefer Birchas Ish. It's a combination of the Birchas Ish and Birchas Ish. Rav Shane from MTJ and from Meshiva Staten Island. It's a very big time, a very big darshan in Staten Island. And he combines with the Sefer and he says an amazing yisoid. Just as a yisoid, how many years did Esav cause his mother tsar? Exactly 100 years. Rashi, the very end of the parasha, is a very long mathematical calculation of the ages and numbers, and there in that calculation it makes it very clear that Rivka was 99 years when she died. Then the parasha in the Rashi, and the last Rashi in the parasha. 99 years when she died. We can't go to the calculation now. When was she told that she would have an Esav? 9 months, the year before. Yeah. So that means, from the time that she heard, and Hashem told her, there's a goy b'vinech that's going to be in the Ovid of the Zara, it's going to make a lot of tzaras for you. She had tzar. There's not that tzar. And then 9 months later, or a period of time later, plus 99 years, is 100, in the 100th year. That's why there's a small kuf. The small kuf is katzdi b'chayayim b'nei b'nos ches. Esav married from the b'nos ches. He married. My son Esav has given me tsars, taken away 100 of my years. What could have been 100 years of nachas? Grois and nachas.
She didn't what? Married
until
she was three.
No, 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 no. She was 99. She was 99. Rivka, from the time that she was born. I'm making a mistake. I'm making the calculations wrong. See, I'm getting confused.
How old was she when she died?
How old was she when she died? Right. How long from the time? From the time. From the time. Right, so the calculation, I got it. Right, bear with me, I got it. Rashi, the end of the parash, says that Yaakov was 99 years old when his mother died.
Right.
End of the Rashi, Yaakov, when that Devorah came, right. When Devorah died, Rashi says, I'm sorry, Yaakov was 99 years old when his mother died. And his mother was pregnant with him for 9 months. And approximately towards the beginning of the pregnancy is when she found out about the problem. So that means that 100 years, Rivka was living with the fact that she was the mother of Esav. That took away from her nachas. She could have had a kuf, male, and now it was a kleina kuf because of the tsar. On Rosh Hashanah, here's what I want to be myself, I'm one tini ha'ara. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow 100 koilas. Why? The mother of Sisera. The mother of Sisera, she cried 100 koilas because where's my son? There's another chazal that when a woman goes into labor, she cries, she gives out 100 cries, 100 labor pains, whatever that means, a medrash, until she gives birth. So we care about Sisera, mother of Sisera. There's another mother who suffered 100 years, and that was Rivka. She suffered 100 years because of the tsar of Esav. One of the reasons why we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, there are 10 reasons why we blow shofar. And one of the reasons is shofar shel Mashiach. Galus Edom. We're living in Galus Edom. Galus Edom is the tsar, is the pain that Esav has brought upon Klal Yisrael. We're now living in Galus Edom. Who is Edom? Edom is Esav. When we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, of Sad Yigoyin, is Tegula, Mashiach. Shofar shel Mashiach will bring an end to Galus Edom. Edom, Maisa Avay Simul Labanim. Esav has caused his mother a small kuf. Katzdi b'chayai, a small kuf, because 100 years living with a number of hundreds, another shalem living with the tsar of Esav. We likewise, in that dimension of blowing to relieve us in the Galus of Edom, we blow 100 koilos. Of a mother, we identify with Rivka. We feel the tsar of Rivka in our relationship with Esav. Halacha biyadenu Esav sone Yaakov vayistaim Esav es Yaakov. It's oichira the number 100. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Shemusaycha to the birchos Yaakov v'yitin lecha Elokim mitam hashamayim.